Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, the entire staff chimes in on their three hottest guys. Lots of diversity. Interesting choices as well. And then the news coming first.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Brian here. I have to say that March Madness is tremendous, outrageous, and goddamn do more of it. It's fucking beautiful. Thank you, Adam.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Thank you, caller. All right. We have... It's interesting, not to blow any sunshine up my own tukai, but I learned this thing many years ago when I was taking a groundlings class with Cynthia Seghetti. God rest her soul. She was the hard-ass teacher over there.
And, who was not sympathetic to your breakup.
No, not at all. And she, it was during a writing lab, and she would say, everyone's got 10 minutes to put together a premise, write some beats down, and then get up and deliver a monologue based on the premise. And she wouldn't even say any premise. She'd say the premise is you're talking to someone through glass. So I remember actually coming up with an air traffic controller, and I remember sitting there going 10 minutes to put this kind of thing would take days to put together and memorize and rehearse and stuff like that. And she's like, "Y'all have 10 minutes." And my first impulse is that's impossible. And then I watched everyone do a really good job of putting this stuff together. And I thought it's then when I kind of realized, I was like, I think we're capable of a lot more if you have a Cynthia Seghetti pushing you a little bit. And when we were doing March Madness, I didn't even know really what we were doing at the beginning. But then when I started to ingest it and digest it, and I started to think, oh, wait a minute, I have to have 5 different angles on the same premise. I was like, oh, how the fuck's that going to work? But then I just sort of started pushing myself a little bit. And you'll find that if you start pushing yourself a little bit, you'd be really surprised on what comes out and what you can find. Yeah. All right. So Gary's first.
Yeah, I'd like to thank Chris for that.
Okay. And listen, Chris, you may... I don't know. We can't have a bunch of no names that, you know, some white rapper out of Detroit who we've never heard of. Kind of.
You're not going to have that problem with mine.
All right.
So for mine, well, just since you referenced rappers, one of mine is a rapper, actor, and writer, TV show creator, Donald Glover.
Donald Glover.
On the show before.
Good.
Attractive man.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think bumped up by how talented he is. He's, you know, he can literally do everything in entertainment. Mm-hmm. My other one is really kind of down the center here. I don't think controversial. Chris Hemsworth. Handsome man.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually these pictures will go up. And Frank Grillo is my third.
We love Frank.
Recently featured in Boss Level.
Yeah. If you combine this dude, this would be a real contender for like Mr. Universe.
Yeah. These are all very strong choices with some diversity.
With some strong jawlines.
Yeah. Good looking beards. All right. A good first offering. Emmy has now got his candidates as well. Is he coming in?
Gina, how enjoyable is this?
This is fantastic. I'm having a great time.
All right. So my three are going to be Matt Bomer, Colton Haynes.
Hold on. I don't know who Matt... Does anyone know
you
Matt
will.
Bomer?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know the name.
From White Magic Collar, Mike and other things.
Or Magic Mike.
Colton Hayes.
Colton Hayes is from the show Arrow.
Sure, yeah. I got the Blu-ray. I got the box set.
Yes.
All right, you guys. We have to know these names.
Oh, sorry.
Third choice.
The last one's going to be a reach in the past. It's Chris O'Donnell.
Oh, okay. From
Matt Bomer. Oh yeah, Chris O'Donnell. Robin.
That's right.
Batman and Robin.
That's why I picked him.
Is this somehow
Matt Bomer out? Which may be helpful or not. I don't know.
Oh, he's out.
he's out.
I was about to say, your list is much gayer than Gary's, but I wasn't even thinking about the guys.
Well, Matt Bomer and Colton Hayes are both gay.
Oh.
So I might as well start off.
Smart.
Lead.
Mm-hmm.
Very pretty choices.
Pretty boys, yeah.
Right.
Very pretty.
Now, wait a second. Oh, right. I guess we are. Now, here's an interesting question, which I probably should have brought up, which is, are we allowed... We're allowed to pick dead people, but are we allowed to pick different versions of,
people? You're going to like my list.
Okay. Because you have different I mean, what I'm saying is I would put Cher from 1969 on my list, but she's still alive. But all right.
Oh,
interesting.
Buddy, you're speaking my language. We're on the same page.
All right. All right. Nice offering, Emmy.
Thank you.
I would tell you to get back to work, but no one here knows what you do. So just get back to, well, you heat up leftovers, right? Is that, you do everything.
Professionally?
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Emmy comes in and reminds everyone to eat because he puts his shit in the microwave. And then when you walk past it, you go, oh, I smell stroganoff. And then all of a sudden you go, what's for lunch?
Yeah, his important role.
That's right.
When you ask your question, Adam, is there a greater example of that than Marlon Brando?
Right. Yes.
So that's a good question.
All right. So, Brian, go ahead.
Okay. Sorry. Chris just sent me a message. Okay. So I went with three choices of guys you forgot were hot. Mm. And funny you should mention, Gina, the first choice is Marlon Brando.
Ah.
This is a beautiful. Wait, do we have a mosaic of everyone together? Oh yeah, there we go.
Okay. Oh,
that's a beaut. Jesus Christ, that's the most handsome man ever lived.
Yes.
It's like looking at the sun. It's almost too hard.
Yeah, yeah, he's beautiful.
Brando smoldering
and all man. Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like your angle of guys we forgot were hot.
Because you think of Marlon Brando, you think of the bloated blob from the end of his life.
Right,
and
right.
Oh, no, Brando was a handsome hunk of meat. Speaking of which, let's not forget, we all know the Mickey Rourke of today.
Mm-hmm.
But Mickey Rourke in his early days, Diner, Body Heat, Angel Heart, was a beautiful specimen. Put up
Angel
some Mickey
Heart.
Rourke.
Yeah.
Oh,
God, yeah. Yeah, had the hair. Yeah.
The hair,
cigarette.
The look, the devil remember, attitude.
Remember a simpler time in this society where guys got better looking by smoking cigarettes?
Yes.
We're looking at the guy.
I know. Now you get a rock thrown at you from a passing car. All right.
And
yeah,
finally,
Rourke is good. Yeah.
Finally, a deeper cut, although, Adam, you'll know who this is. Gina, have you ever heard the name Jason Sehorn?
Oh,
yes.
Good.
Why?
Deep.
You might know he married Angie Harmon, but
yes.
He was most famous for being a professional football player.
Yeah.
Let's look at Jason Sehorn real quick. Gina's going to enjoy this.
Oh,
just,
my
just a specimen of a man. Gina, this man was the last starting white cornerback in the NFL. He returned punts. Do you understand what kind of athlete you have to be
to
return punts as a white guy in the NFL? Adam, you talk about I'd like to squeeze this guy and see how much funny I can get out of him, or squeeze him, and see how much, compress him and see how much, talent we can get out. I'm going to say something that you're going to snicker at, and then you're going to think about and go, fuck, the bald guy might be right. Jason Sehorn is the greatest white athlete ever to play professional football. I'm not saying he has the accomplishments of like a Tom Brady that's apples and oranges. This fucking dude started at cornerback. This fucking dude returned punts. Look at this specimen.
So you're factoring that into his hotness.
He's working a lot. We're a strong racial angle here with Sehorn. But I will say this about Sehorn. Sehorn, first off, Angie Harmon is one of the best looking people on the planet, too.
Agreed.
So their fucking kids better be tens and a half or I will be devastated.
That's a good point.
Now, we all know, Christie Brinkley and Billy Joel. Look, we're not holding the kid responsible for that. That's a yin and a yang. Mm-hmm. I get it. But when you have two of the best examples of the sex that they represent, I mean, indeed. Angie Harmon is arguably one of the hottest looking, at age 31's best looking woman on the planet. Then you have Sehorn. Sehorn had wheels, man. I mean, he was a fast dude and he did return punts, and the Giants coach was heavily criticized because he was returning punts during the preseason and blew out his knee.
Fucked up his knee. And he came back and started at cornerback as a white dude. That's the this is the greatest white athlete ever to play football. Plus, he also did this. Chris, put up the video clip if you can, Chris. We got the whole presentation. All right, we got to see. Oh, he did this.
McNabb again over center. Drops straight back. Giants on a flip. McNabb hit as he throws. Swings it right. And the pass nearly hit. It is intercepted by Seahorn. He's got it on the run. Down the left side. Like
that was the greatest interception ever. Yeah. That's right.
He batted it first. Somehow it did not hit the ground. And then he captured it, took it down the far sideline. Jason Seahorn gives the Giants a 16-0 lead.
Strahan, yeah. Yeah.
That's some Globetrotter shit he just did.
Yeah. He was great. All right. Good offerings, Brian.
My list.
Inspired. Matt, Porcelain Punisher.
What a boss.
What's going on, man?
Doing good. I didn't know I was supposed to bring clips with me.
Brian, always going above and beyond.
Well, my first one's number one.
From his kitchen, of course, never in the studio. But still going above and beyond. Yes.
First one is, I would say he's a quadruple threat. He can sing. He can dance. He can act. He's also got an Australian accent. I'm talking about Hugh Jackman.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Yes.
He is a bit of all right. Yeah.
Number two, I think most of this country would agree with me because he was recently voted sexiest man alive. Idris Elba.
Yeah.
Matt's two for two.
Yeah.
And then number three, it's not often that you get to regularly interact with one of the hottest guys in the world, but I happen to produce a show he's a co-host of. Eric Stromer.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that.
Stromer.
The Holy Trinity.
Stromer's in a kind of a Ken doll kind of way, a very good looking dude.
And when you think Stromer, you think, ballroom dancer, also cooks homemade meals three times a day for his family.
He plays guitar before every show. It's
of course he does.
We're sweating in here.
The worst.
And good looking. and a good carpenter. Yeah, that's I like it. Keeping it in house.
I'm profiling, but he has to surf. Look at that hair.
It'd be a shame if he didn't, says Gary.
Yeah.
There you go.
And a little bit goofy and all around good guy, which will add some points to. All right, good offerings,
nice.
Matt. Yeah. Kalen has Kalen got
all right,
his
yep, offer. I got my pick. I'm just going to do it from my office here. My number one is actor, all around badass, and he's got the accent to go with it. Tom Hardy.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
Beautiful lips.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Number two, he's kind of a quiet hero in the nerd community, but it's Superman himself, Henry Cavill.
Oh, that was going to be Brian.
Yeah. Traditional. Yeah.
And then
please be Michael Biehn.
Number three is just a handsome fellow. It's quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong. Strong chins all around.
Yeah. Cannot go wrong with Garoppolo, man. Yeah, it's a good call. All right, good offerings. Yeah,
I don't mean to shit on Brian's offering because really strong stuff. But you, if you take the football element and the 8-pack out of this equation, Garoppolo way hotter than Seahorn.
As a model, Garoppolo would probably do better in the profession. But when you factor everything in.
Got it.
Come on.
Also, Seahorn, you're looking at sort of 90s pictures of Seahorn, and you don't realize that, you know, or go back and look at some of the hot chicks from the 80s and see, like, oh, her hair's fucked
her hair.
Up. Right. Yeah. It's like, yeah.
I didn't like the blue eyeshadow.
Right. All right. Let's see. Wow. We got Ryan, intern Ryan.
Yep. So Kalen stole one of mine. I'm going Jimmy Garoppolo. Brad Pitt, very classic, and Gosling. Actually, no, scratch Gosling. John Hamm. Mad Men era John Hamm. Just
Hammer.
Ryan. Awesome.
And you know, I know John personally, and some of these guys disappoint in person because they're diminutive. They're like little guys, you know, and they're like, they're all cute, but when you see him, it's like boy band kind of stuff. Like it looks good. Photographs look good. Hammy is 6'2", 6'3", and he's all man. So he's not a little guy.
If we're objectifying right now, which I think we are, speaking of Hammy, don't forget that classic paparazzi pic of John just swinging long and low down the street.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It's got some junk in the boot, not in the trunk. Yeah. It's up front. That's right. All right. Uninspired, Ryan, but thank you for your time anyway.
Speaking of paparazzi and John Hammond, when he was over here looking, and you gave him a tour of your car museum, Mike August was here too. And August wanted to snap some pics, but kind of be indiscreet about it. He didn't want to get in your guys' way. So you guys are walking around, and August is like has his phone out at his hip and just taking pictures of you. But his flash was on. Every picture, his flash went off.
Oh, that sounds like Mike.
That's on brand.
Yeah, I went over. I did one of my things, which is I went to his house. If you ask me, I'll go to your house and if you're an A-lister, obviously. Yeah. And I'll just walk through it for an hour and they go, I was thinking about building the trellis out here. We wanted to redo the kitchen. And I just walked through Ham's house and I think I gave him one of those tours, or he gave me one of those tours. All right, we have Chris and Awesome Dawson left.
Yes. All right, so for my three, I thought this one was pretty obvious. Michael B. Jordan as one of them.
Yeah.
And because like, he was in Black Panther, and even when he had all those spots all over
Creed.
Him, I still thought, yeah, still hot.
Felt like a brick shit house.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then I put Jason Momoa on there because I felt like I needed a bigger
Speaking
dude.
Of brick shit house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I picked, do you watch Queer Eye? Have you ever seen it?
I do.
There's a guy named Anthony on it. And every time I watch Queer Eye, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a good looking dude.
Yeah. Wow. Diverse. Very diverse. And I agree with all, I'm looking at all the pictures. It's a very, you're spot on.
Yeah. You know how we used to play those games, like which house would you be quarantined with if you had to pick? And there was like three or four guys, like this was mine.
Mm.
Wow. Well done.
All right. And last but not least, Dawson.
Well, it appears I have daddy issues, as you'll see. I did have John Hamm on my list, but I'm going to go ahead and strike him so we don't repeat. And I'm going to say in third place, a very specific Jeff Bridges. Kalen will throw that up there. Mm. In second place, we're going Kevin Costner.
Oh,
that dude just gets better looking every single year. You know, you start back in the Fandango and Bull Durham. That was a handsome man.
Yeah.
But even recently with Yellowstone, he's a badass. He's a damn good looking dude.
And I'll tell you from personal experience again, not a little dude, an athlete. And like I said, several years ago, we were hanging around in his Ventura County ranch and he was chucking bombs to Sonny. You know, throwing, it's kind of one thing to chuck an undersized ball like a Nerf or even a Pop Warner size. You get the Duke, you get the NFL ball. That's kind of a big ball. That ball was traveling 60 yards in the air. He was just chucking them in this field. That guy's an athlete. So, and his band is good too. So, that's strong.
But the winner in my book, the sexiest man alive, is Sam Elliott.
Mm.
Look at that duster.
We'll find the picture of Sam Elliott. Hey, mijo.
Yeah. Dawson, I know that you and my fiance have a little bit of a side thing going on, but it might also intrigue you to know that he does a lot of Sam Elliott impersonation stuff for professionally.
Oh, really?
You got to be able to grow a mustache to do that.
Yeah. Sam Elliott, does he... I mean, other than acting and like voiceover and stuff, he's not a like Kris Kristofferson, who may have been left off the list for a lot of people here because that guy was beautiful in his day and wrote great songs too. And an actor, Sam Elliott, does he write? Does he sing? Does he write songs?
No idea.
I don't think so. I really don't think so. He did play. In the remake of A Star Is Born, mm-hmm. he played the older brother, of the star.
You know, yes, some notable absentees from the list. Getting back to young Nick Nolte. Check out your Nick Nolte from a movie like The Deep or something, like young blonde Nick Nolte. That guy was a bit of all right.
You know who else would be good for Dawson's era list, and who, by the way, is a very renowned playwright and very handsome, especially in his day? Sam Shepard.
Mm. Yeah, that's good. Are you guys bothered? I'll tell you, I like good-looking people. I have no qualm with good-looking people. But I have found in the looks department one of the professions that are the best looking department, photographers, men and women. They're probably former models or something. Yep. It's probably why. But they're oftentimes very handsome or very striking or very good looking. They have there's something about they're into the aesthetic. They keep themselves well put together. You know, you don't see a lot of like fat, sloppy, you know, that old tub of goo photographer I had to work with. They're very angular. They're very down with the fashion. It's their business. Like, yes. I get it, but it's super fucking annoying being photographed by someone who's better looking than you.
Because
every fucking time I would do a photo shoot, the fucking photographer was great looking and they'd be taking pictures of me. And all I could think of, we should take pictures of you. That's all I could think of. Now, maybe it's my low self-esteem, but I would like a sloppy, fat photographer and who I could remind that camera is facing the right direction, bros. Yeah. Sorry, Gina, you were going to say what?
No, you're absolutely right about that. I know a lot of people who photograph bands for a living and like live shows, and you're absolutely right. They're hot, and you're right. Like, they are coming out on another side of the industry. So they add insult to injury by not dressing hot, which somehow makes them hotter.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like a slouchy t-shirt and a scarf gingerly thrown around the neck.
Mm, yeah, it's one of the hottest professions there is. All right. Good offerings from everyone. All right, we'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll come back and do the news with Gina and Bald right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Big news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, we have some somewhat big breaking local news, and I don't know if you guys have heard it yet because I thought it might come up with Garrigus, but Governor Newsom has said that California is ready to fully reopen its economy by June 15th if vaccine and hospitalization numbers remain stable like they are. California is set to surpass more than 20 million vaccine doses administered. The two specific criteria for fully reopening on June 15th are vaccine supply must be sufficient for Californians ages 16 and older, and hospitalizations rates must remain stable and low. With the full reopening, everyday activities will be allowed. Businesses can reopen. Of course, they'll do, you know, common sense, you know, wear your mask or whatever measures. Other than that, that's the set date. The state will continue contact tracing and testing to detect early cases and contain the spread. But that is the new target date to get things back to normal.
Well, I was watching the news last night, and I think the Rangers game was at full capacity. Like the Texas,
sure as shit was.
I think, I don't know if they had 38,000, 39,000, but it was full. So again, my whole thing is see if there's a big hot spot. I mean, we all know the answer. Texas said fuck everything a month ago and there's nothing going on. So we already have our answer. My thing is like, let's do it tomorrow, douche. LA County had one person die yesterday. I think I heard the data out of I know we're talking about California. But out of 10 million people, one fucking person and probably tripped on a COVID ladder or something and died. But either way, all right, it's done. Why? And also, you know, I know we're so, you said June what?
15th.
June 15th. We've all been so indoctrinated into this thing. Imagine just going back in time 5 years for the sake of it, and it's early April. It's the beginning of April, and somebody said, "Hey, good news! June 15th, we'll be able to, you know, you'll be able to go to the gym or like whatever it is." You'd be like, "Fucking June 15th! That's the summer. That's a long. My kids will be out of school." Like,
It
used to feel like a lot that. Yeah. At the beginning of April, June 15th feels like we're heading toward the 4th of July. That seems like a long ways away. Yes.
And then you say, no, June 15th of next year.
Uh-huh. Right. Oh, well, that would have been X amount. Yeah. Right. But what I'm saying is I know he's excited about June 15th. That's still kind of a long ways away. I mean, if you're I think the Dodgers are and I don't know what he's going to do, but I think the Dodgers are like 33% capacity. June 15th is, you know, 40 home games or whatever the fuck it is with 500,000 people not going to see a Dodger game. Who could?
Yes, but you know what the other good news is? That means that we have completely razed to the ground the stupid coding system, the color coding system. Yeah. That means that will be done. I mean, we're all in, you know, orange now or, you know, whatever that means to you. But by June 15th, we get to just let go of that as though it never existed.
Was I telling you? I think I was telling you, but I'm so enamored with the notion of eating indoors now that I now, every time I walk in a restaurant, I'm like, I'd like to be indoors because in the past, I would have liked to eat on the patio. That was a treat. I'm so fucking patioed out that I now want to go indoors. All right. Yeah. Well, good for us. We'll be the last place to open.
Of course. And that means on a personal note, I am back to taking this this very serious and sacred wedding situation more seriously. And I have an appointment with a Jewish wedding coordinator that specializes in interfaith weddings. So we'll see what comes of that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know, because I'd like to throw a couple of traditions in there and not have to be the one to explain it to the, you know, coordinator.
Oh, there's going to be a lot of amber beads around the neck of that broad.
And
I
fail to see the problem.
When you say there's certain jobs where I can see the person.
Yes.
Like when you go, you know, when somebody does the... We have a diversity counselor who's going to come and explain to the people. I'm like, oh, I can see her now. I can just see her.
But I want my fictitious Jewish wedding interfaith coordinator to have amber beads and possibly not wear shoes.
Well, I don't want to. I'm not an interfaith wedding coordinator, but I will. I do have opinions on this.
Please.
Okay. Because I've been to the dual shit before.
Yeah.
The deal is you kids fight it out to see how much of your fakakta religion and how much of his fakakta religion make it into the final cut.
Yep.
We're not doing two fucking separate things.
Oh, no.
I've been to those fucking things before.
No.
It's like, well, now it's her turn to come up. And this is this is the worst part of the wedding, and it's lasting twice as long. The fucking There's a carving station over there, and it's getting cold.
Getting cold.
Right.
Shot clock.
Right. That's it.
Yes, you're absolutely right. I tell you what we will defer to when it comes to how long the wedding lasts, the Jews. That shit is 10 minutes. It's not a Catholic wedding. Doesn't last all day.
Yeah, but I'll tell you that there's also a problem with the Jews.
Uh-oh.
Which you're probably aware of. the Vicars of Christ, the Catholic guys, they're not failed stand-up comedians. Jews are all fucking, they all want to be a stand-up comedian. So they get that audience and they start with a couple of lukewarm jokes and they're always working the audience a little bit.
Hey, where are you from?
I hate to agree with you, but I will tell you, and it was welcome-ish at the time. Guess where that also happened?
Hmm.
My father's
funeral.
It's also a weird thing. So when I told you guys years ago when my manager's assistant died, or autoerotic asphyxiation, worst funeral ever, you know, 24-year-old kid, sweet kid, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, everyone had to speak. Well, everyone who had to speak was sort of from the industry. Lots of Jews. You know, he was Jewish. Howard was Jewish. His management team represented, you know, comedians right. and people like that. So you just get up there and someone hands you a microphone and there's an audience and your brain doesn't know you're at a fucking funeral. You're at the Friars right. Club now. And it's right. like they always they can't stop working. The best speeches are made by the, you know, stepdad who's a nerd, who's a electronics engineer and works for Boeing or something, where he's just handshaking a little and he's like, I just like to wish Tammy and Ben the best.
Drift.
Right, the best. Yeah, someone has to keep hitting his elbow. He'd rather be anywhere. That's who you're looking for. Jews too comfortable with a mic in their hand.
That's true. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, keep that in mind. I'll make sure that that's something
I'll keep that in mind.
Well, look, the forefront. Here's the deal. You got a tight 20 minutes, okay?
Agreed.
You do 10 minutes from his religion, 10 from yours, or whack it up however the fuck you want. Go 19 from yours and 1 from his, but we got 10. I'll be in the back. I'll be in the back of the church. I'll give you the flashlight at 18.
The church. Okay.
Or the synagogue or whatever, the fucking park. I'll give you the light at 18. That means you got 2 minutes.
Start lighting up.
You got to bring it home.
Yeah. Right. Well, you'll appreciate this. I can assure you that will happen because I am Jewish and he doesn't have a religion. Mm. So it won't be obnoxious whenever it comes about. Okay.
I'll light you at 18.
Thank you. Major League Baseball.
I'll have Matt do it. I'm not going to get up.
You're right. You'll have a drink in your hand.
Right.
And I still like the park, even though Brian thinks that's awful. Not like the next to the slides, but like I just like outdoor events. I before all this COVID shit, I like anyway. I want a brunch wedding. Major League Baseball is reportedly relocating its All-Star game to Coors Field in Denver. The game, which has been scheduled for July 13th at Truist Park in Atlanta, was pulled by Commissioner Rob Manfred in protest of new Georgia law restrictions. But Denver Mayor Michael Hancock says, "We're proud to welcome the game and to talk about the progressive voting system in Denver that is bent on making sure no one is abridged from their right to vote." And yes, this is about baseball.
It's funny that it's Coors Field and they're moving it from like a predominantly black city to an all white city, which is funny. Also, I mean, we can look it up and we'll do in a future episode. But I think Denver has many of the same restrictions Atlanta is imposing or Georgia is imposing as well, or Colorado does. So it's all kind of weird and moot, but okay. But also, not no one, but like Stacey Abrams is saying like, well, we support the boycott, but let's not take all this money out of this city with all these black owned businesses. There's not a lot of black owned businesses in Denver, Colorado. There are many in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And you're taking $100 million worth of revenue and bringing it to Whitey's doorstep, all the concessions and hotels and all the ancillary clubs and eateries and you're just moving it. You're making this statement, but who are you helping really?
Well, yeah, you're doubling down on punishing the people who already felt marginalized.
Yes, that's right. Now they can be broke and marginalized.
Right. Harvey Weinstein's lawyers have filed to appeal his rape conviction. Mm. On Monday, his lawyers filed documents to overturn the conviction. According to CNBC, they argue that Weinstein was denied his right to be tried by an impartial jury and was denied his right to a fair trial, because jurors were allowed to hear claims of serious sexual misconduct by him that were not the subject of this specific charge, and that defense experts were improperly barred from testifying on the subject of memory and sexual events.
Well, let me say this. I don't want to defend Weinstein.
Good boy.
But?
I don't know.
If you were in the joint, you could do a lot worse in the cellmate department.
Sure.
I mean, most guys are like, I stabbed my nana when I was 19 and I can't fucking spell. He could tell you stories about Gwyneth Paltrow that, would fucking give you a boner for 3 days, right?
What a great lay she was.
I mean, or just going when I was in Cannes and I was hanging out with the cast from James Bond and we all went to the casino. And I mean, You could just sit. That guy would just tell stories. How many stories does that fucking guy have? You know, versus the guy who's the drifter, junkie, stab the guy right at the liquor store, and he's
a
there for
a tale as old as time.
Right. Yeah. You can only tell that story once or twice, right?
Yeah, but I think you're right. I think Weinstein does have enough stories to go the distance of a 23-year prison sentence.
Oh, definitely.
And you're always looking for fresh Jack material in the joint. Right. You know what I mean? So, given talking about some A-listers and, you know, being naked.
Some ficuses.
And yeah, it's that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Be interesting. I don't think, you know, I don't think he's coming after you in the joint. Obviously, you're not his groove, right?
You'd fight him off pretty easily, I think. He's
right.
Got the walker.
He's infirmed.
Yeah, I'm just saying that's who you want is your mate. That guy's going to have stories.
Mm-hmm. Very good point.
Who really wrote Good Will Hunting? I'd like to know. Tell me, Harvey.
Yeah, right. There you go. Exactly. Matt Damon really did. How come he's not written anything since then if he got an Oscar for that? Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Very good point. Well, embattled.
Now,
and yes.
Hold on. There's probably a more than good chance that Harvey's cellmate is the drifter junkie who stabbed the guy who works at the liquor store.
That's
so
true.
He's probably not going to take as deep a dive on Good Will Hunting.
Not a big
screen credits.
Fan.
Right. It's a good. Right. But he'd strike pay dirt with Weinstein.
That's right. I think this is one of the words we talked about the other day that you'll know you had a successful or, you know, sort of an interesting life if they put this in front of your name. Embattled Republican Congressman Matt Gaetz of Florida pushed back against allegations of sex trafficking. He wrote an op-ed article published Monday that says he's not a criminal and is absolutely not resigning. Gaetz wrote an article published in the Washington Examiner and said, "Since I'm taking my turn under the gun, let me address allegations against me directly. First, I have never, ever paid for sex. And second, I, as an adult man, have not slept with a 17-year-old. Gaetz claimed he's being targeted because he decided to take on the most powerful institutions in the Beltway, the establishment, the FBI, the Biden Justice Department, the Cheney political dynasty, even the Justice Department under Trump. And the Justice Department opened this probe into Gaetz after his friend was charged with sex trafficking. That's Joel Greenberg. He has pleaded not guilty.
Well,
did you end up watching the Tucker interview?
Yeah, I certainly saw snippets of it. It seemed unhinged or weird or surreal or something. I'll ask off the mic when I see Tucker in a week and a half or whenever the hell we're going out to Florida. Hopefully we're flying with Garagos on his big jet out to
big
Nashville
boy.
And then we'll blah, blah, blah. So I'll ask him. Yeah, Gaetz, he's got that look. He looks like a cartoon character. He seems like the kind of guy who would do it. He's got a lot of energy and he's a lot of certitude.
Yes,
so, I never know when people, you know, who had a lot of certitude. God, I can't even. Stormy Daniels' attorney. Remember that guy?
Avenatti.
Avenatti just rolled into the studio and like fucking took the ladies from The View by hook or by crook.
Brimming
He's like
with confidence.
Just preening and this guy got everything on this guy. He's going to, and we respond to certitude like it was insanity. Like Avenatti was a shyster criminal, whatever the fuck he was. I mean, he just turned out to be the worst person in the world, but he rolled in. You got to have the right jawline. You know what I mean? You have to have the right kind of jawline and the right eyes. You have to look. You can't just say it. You have to kind of look it and kind of live it. But he just rolled in with all that certitude and everyone just kind of went, I guess he's right. He must be right. Gaetz has some of that. So he doesn't do the, you know, speak to my spokesperson or something. He pushes.
Front now, center.
Now we'll see. As I have, I really have no idea what the story is, but I guess we're going to find out.
Well, don't you think, because I know he's sort of beyond SNL right now, but do you know who would have played a great Gaetz? Bill Hader.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
doesn't
he's already
the
got
Weekend Update anchor look like him?
Yeah, Colin Jost.
I don't know.
He looks like him in that he's a good-looking white guy.
White guy,
and then if you just put the hair.
He's got the furrowed brow.
They all look the same to Brian.
Put the hair on him.
But also the others, I mean, you know, there's lots of these side stories coming out. And one of them is, and, you know, because I would imagine it's a very frat boy environment on Capitol Hill, but that Gates either participated in or created this point system for, you know, if you have sex with a lobbyist or a representative, and there was this whole point system that he created that he was very proud of, or at least proud to participate in. Of course, he denies that, but I could see that kind of like frat behavior happening in Capitol Hill.
I would see it happening everywhere. that's the way this country used to work. I mean, if you work for GM and there was a hot new receptionist, it's a competition so you could bang her first. I mean, that's just the way this country used to be. By the way, I'm sure many a receptionist has married many an executive based loosely on that theorem. Mm. Pete Davidson played him on SNL.
He did. And that is a great transition to my next story. Another man who has played Matt Gaetz, Pete Davidson, has a new girlfriend.
She's going to be so hot. Ugh.
It doesn't disappoint.
No.
Now, you won't be familiar with her work, but most other people will. He is dating a woman named Phoebe Dynevor. She is the star of Bridgerton. And I have a picture. The big Netflix series. She's the big star from Bridgerton, British and very feminine and girly and plucky. An insider says they're taking it slow, but that's because he's committed to his work on SNL and she's shooting Bridgerton in England. But the insider says still Pete must like her if he's flying off to quaint little villages to hang out with her. He recently moved out of his mom's basement, according to this source, but he's very intense with his girlfriends, as we've heard. He previously was engaged to Ariana Grande. He dated Cindy Crawford's daughter, Kaya Gerber.
Oh, and listen, first off, you know, Ariana Grande should be wanting like pussy residuals from Pete Davidson. Like, you were fucking skinny, wanky, fucking awkward, unfunny sack of shit. And then I let the world know I was fucking you, and it's opened the floodgates to all the other fucking hot chicks that now, from this day forth, you can dump me and you go right into the arms of another hottie because I established you as someone who dates hot chicks. And the way chicks are wired, that's how they roll. They factor in the other person the person was fucking, and if they were super hot, then the hotties line up. Guys don't work that way. We don't care how good looking the person. If a chick's ugly and dated John Hamm for 6 years, she's still ugly when she breaks up with John Hamm. That's how it works.
She's a good 10% in perpetuity.
Yes.
But you don't assume there's something about her that if it's good enough for John Hamm.
No, we assume something's wrong with John Hamm. We turn on him.
She might suck a mean dick.
Yeah. Oh. That's right.
Interesting.
But that's how it works.
Noted.
Yeah, we'll do stuff like, they must have met back when they were both waiting or bartending. You know, we'll make a little side story up to justify it.
Right, right.
But it in no way gets us more attracted to her.
Yeah.
But Pete Davidson now, I don't go below 9.75 on the hotter rector meter, whatever it is.
I think it's the erector scale.
The erector scale. He now just announces this is it. Actually, he doesn't have to announce it. It just is.
Yeah.
Sixes and sevens need not apply. It's Pete Davidson, who's, you know, cute at best, but not a great example. He didn't make anyone's list here of hottest dudes. He just established that's what he does. And if Ariana Grande is fucking leaving money on the table, because what she should be doing is creating these sort of make-believe relationships with, you know, B-list, you know, middle-of-the-pack guys, it's a gift that keeps giving. It's worth millions of dollars.
You know who we need to ask about this? The original benefactor of this scheme, Patrick Dempsey in Can't Buy Me Love.
Mm.
He paid the hot girl to pretend she was dating him so he'd be hotter to everybody else.
That's right.
Yeah. God, I'd love that movie.
I have probably a cell number. I'll ask him about
that. That would be great.
You inspired me out of the look of Angie Harmon and her kids, and her daughters are they're good looking. I mean, the Sehorn and Harmon kids.
You cannot do better than Sehorn and Harmon. Angie Harmon's not. All right.
I'm not big on showing leaked pictures normally, but I think this is a little bit of a different case. Khloe Kardashian is on a mission to delete a private, unedited photo of herself from the internet. According to Page Six, the image shows the reality star's face and body as she appears in a bikini by a pool without the heavy editing and airbrushing that are the mainstays of Kardashian, you know, photos on Instagram. And we have it. I'm going to show you it. There she is, you know. Pretty girl wearing her bikini, looking happy.
That's
Khloe.
Coco.
Khloe. That's Khloe. Yeah, Khloe's. Is she 40 yet?
I don't think so.
She's a young girl. So she's 36. Probably 39. There
you go. 36. Okay.
So the pics started making the rounds around the internet. Many people are reportedly forced to take them down under legal threat from the Kardashian camp. And in a statement, a chief marketing officer of KKW Brand says the color edited photo was taken of Khloe during a private family gathering and posted to social media without permission by mistake by an assistant. But this is a perfectly lovely picture of a perfectly healthy, pretty normal person. And I don't think this is like showing someone's boobs when you didn't have a permission.
Pete Davidson wouldn't fuck her. Not this version. No way. No way.
I'm also going to say that if you hosted a show called Revenge Body,
Brian,
the limits are a little less than they would be on a normal.
What do you mean by that?
You made that your trade. That's your thing.
Oh, I thought you meant she doesn't have a revenge body.
No. I think she looks fine there. But I'm saying if you hosted a show, if you trade in revenge body looks, blah blah blah, et cetera, then I think the limit should be less constrictive.
What's going on here is she looks like an attractive woman, and nothing more. She doesn't look like a superhero. You know, when you see those brushed pictures and those doctored pictures and all that kind of stuff, it creates a bar that nobody could ever clear.
And a normal-ish 36-year-old who's taking care of herself.
Well, and that's the thing. I don't consider this schadenfreude. You know, we don't show a lot of like, you know, this leaked of Jennifer Lawrence boobs that she privately said. Like, I don't think this is that. This is a perfectly nice picture that doesn't
it's not a glamour shot.
No, but it doesn't make her look unattainable, but it's perfectly lovely and it might give teenagers and women of any age a little peek behind the curtain that I think that at this point, the Kardashians owe people.
Well, they've certainly, you know, created a very unrealistic version of femininity that all the young girls look at. And, you know, it's funny. It doesn't matter how many times somebody says, oh, that's airbrushed or, oh, that's got a filter. You just see the picture and you go, oh, my God, I don't look like that. Like I could never look like that. So, you know. And obviously, because we put so much stock in that, as previously discussed, with the aesthetic with females versus meaning we all just paraded a whole bunch of aesthetically beautiful males in the last segment in front of us. And none of the guys felt shamed or felt like they could do better or they needed to do better.
Threatened.
I mean, threatened. Yeah. That they obviously do that and they get to the young girls. I mean, my daughter has been well aware of the Kardashians for quite some years. And so are her friends. Like that's what they, I don't know if they seek to whatever, but it's in early and often.
It's standard.
Right. So
thank God when I was littler than Brian, we had, you know, Ally Sheedy and these really cute girls next door that you didn't think had, you know, disordered eating or anything like, you know, they're just like really cute girls.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Anyway, good. She looks fine. So be it. And this is the last year of the Kardashians, right? They're done. I mean, their TV show's done.
Yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't know.
It's weird when you get into the God, have those guys figured out how to make money. Man, have they figured out. Man, have they figured out our system. Like, they figured out our system. Like, we are aesthetically oriented. We're also kind of trendy. And also, if you're going to work really fucking hard and hustle and work Saturdays and Sundays and and control the narrative, you can get, like, we have, you know, I think different cultures have different values. And you know, some cultures are very religious and this place closes down on a Sunday and you're not supposed to work or whatever it is. But they figured out, they basically just want, what is America? What do? They value the aesthetic and they value the work ethic and they value the sexuality and they value, and they just went and hit on every one of those cylinders.
You're right about everything. And one thing that I don't think people acknowledge enough is Americans, it sounds weird, but think about it. Americans value wealth. Like, if you're wealthy, and they were wealthy to begin with, right? They were super wealthy from Kardashian, whatever. Like, if you're wealthy, Americans think, oh, they've got it figured out. No better example than Donald Trump. Oh, he's wealthy. But he's got it figured out. You know, like, people value the attaining of wealth makes you a deity in a lot of people's eyes.
Yeah. Well, we have now, we have this weird relationship with it, which is we either love you or we hate you on your wealth, because kind of based on who you are. But, if I get into it, if I get in any argument with anyone on Twitter, it'll immediately go to, oh, you sitting in your $7 million mansion. You know, it's always like, yes. I always do,
it
like,
can be used both ways. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm always amused at these. By the way, I'm with them. Like, I wish I just sat in my mansion. I just make count money. My son brings in sacks of bills, and I just sit in my bathrobe in my mansion with my monogram slippers. It's like, I'm fucking taking a Southwest flight to Reno and staying in a shitty casino this weekend or next weekend or whatever it is. But, yeah, it's two-way street. Yes, we hate people who have money, and we... Well, I would argue that the people that critique you for having money, that's really just a version of you being on a schoolyard and going up to the girl you like and pulling her ponytail.
Sure.
That's just you have this weird relationship with it. Like, sorry. Brian.
I would offer as evidence the wild success of the Real Housewives franchise. They offer literally nothing. They're not celebrities. They're not especially good looking. They're not funny. They're not interesting. They're simply wealthy, and thus they have become huge successes.
Yep. All right, let's do one more, Gina Grand.
Quick correction, though Ally Sheedy works, I was, of course, in my head thinking of Elizabeth Shue, whose name is Ally in Karate Kid. But you get
Ally
the point.
Ally Sheedy works.
80s actresses, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so we had Shrimp Guy, Shrimp Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Jensen Karp. Well, we got a new one. Move over, Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Make room for Flaming Hot Cheetos. A six-year-old boy in Montana went to open his Flaming Hot Cheetos, and his father, whose name I think is important to let you know, Bow Horn Weasel, says he bought the bag of chips at a convenience store, and after his son finished it off, at the bottom of the bag was a cheese-dusted bullet. And we have a picture there. The man contacted Frito-Lay and on Facebook and shared a picture of this piece of ammunition. Then Cheetos responded saying they take this matter seriously. They'll be contacting him for more information. A rep for the company said this situation is highly unusual and troubling. We have already taken steps to investigate and attempt to identify the root cause. So Bow Horn Weasel couldn't possibly put this
in there.
I'm calling
bullshit on this. Yeah. There's no way.
Yeah. And by the way, that means he's related to Matthew McConaughey, right? Because only McConaughey has those crazy kind of sibling names.
Rooster, Weasel.
This feels pretty cooked. It's just a slug, right? It's not the whole shell and everything. So it's like it's been fired. Yeah. I realize, like, with almost all these stories that we talk about, I would just finish the fucking Cheetos and move on. Like, I would never stop and take a picture and write a letter and like all that shit. But this one feels cooked. All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad! That was the news with Gina Grad.
All right. Appleton, Wisconsin, Skyline Comedy Club, May 7th and 8th. Sit at home, count my money. This time at a Red Roof Inn in Wisconsin, everybody. Doing a live pods there and stand-up as well. And then off to Golden, Colorado, Buffalo Rose.
Adam, also you got a show added May 14th, I believe, or April. I thought it was May 14th, and it's Huntington Beach. You're doing an outdoor venue.
My mansion's not in Huntington Beach, dude. I'm going to have to bring my sacks of money out there and count it. All right.
What a schlep.
Yeah, Royal Oak, Michigan, Golden, Colorado, Kansas City. Just go to adamcarolla.com, and I'll tell you where I'm coming to a town near you. And I want to thank Mark Garagos for coming in. Listen for our Reasonable Doubt supplemental. I guess it'd be supplemental podcast that we will
Beyond a Reasonable Doubt.
We'll do that. And until next time, Sam for Mark and Gina and Bald saying mahalo.
Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Also find him on Facebook and Instagram at Adam Carolla. Gina Grad teams up with Teresa Strasser for the Easy Listening Podcast. Check that out wherever you find podcasts. And make sure you get Bald Brian's show, The Film Vault, as well. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And for everything Adam Carolla, tickets, books, movies, more, go to adamcarolla.com.